Our scripture lessons for the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter begin with Acts chapter 4. Listen to this very powerful incident that happened shortly after Jesus' resurrection. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day their leaders, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Long after the resurrection, while John was in exile on the island of Patmos and wrote Revelation, he also wrote this in 1 John 3. It's about God's power. "Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandment abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us." And then we go to the Gospel of John in chapter 10, and we find these words of Jesus about power. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The lectionary's selection of the scripture centers around the idea of power. Is it friend or foe? Do we trust power? Do we trust others with power? Do we even trust ourselves with power? Because of its nature, powerful, full of potential, energy intensive, we better know if power is friend or foe. But power is only a word. What kind of power are we talking about? Nuclear power? Electricity? Dynamite, which means power might? Microwaves, money, influence, social pressure? All of these examples are forms of power. Is it friend or foe? Well, it depends on how we understand it, how we relate to it, how we use it or have it used on us. If the word nuclear makes you think of bombs and missiles and radiation poisoning, chances are nuclear power is a frightening term. But for those folks in the electricity business, nuclear power is a means to provide a safe, saleable, and necessary product, which brings up another better example. Electricians are not afraid of electric power. It's their living. And we all need electricity to live the way we do. We use it for everything from making the morning toast to running heart pacemakers. However, most of us say about electricity, well, I respect it. After all, an electric shock is nothing to fool with. Around our house, that means that Dennis has to be very sure to turn off the proper breaker before any project that remotely involves electricity. I have a wire cutter and a bruised ego, both of which bear the scars of not turning off the right breaker. And that's the point. If we do not understand the power, whatever form, we're both wisely and naturally afraid of it. Who doesn't respect the sign that says poison? We don't know much about it, but we respect that. Or notice how our children take microwave ovens for granted, and some of our grandparents are still not all that sure about that machine. Every one of us feels at the mercy of the financial powers that determine the prime rate. The chairman of the Federal Reserve Board hardly dares clear his throat in public for fear of starting some sort of panic. And when you and I are in the presence of people we consider powerful people, we move with a little bit of caution and a little bit of extra attention, and we're uneasy. Think about your first job and your first boss. If you were in the military, think about your first sergeant. Remember the person who taught you how to swim, who literally had his life, your life, in his or her hands? Or maybe you can remember a doctor or a lawyer, some professional. You needed to know what he knew. Or maybe it's someone who's very good at something you'd like to be very good at. All of those feelings we have about those people have to do with power. Now take those feelings and understanding and consider that lesson we read together from the book of Acts. Peter and John were preaching. They were preaching about the resurrected Christ, about the power of God, and in the course of their public preaching, they encountered a man who was unable to walk because of a birth defect, and he was begging at the temple gate. And it just seemed the right thing to do for Peter to say to this person, "I have no silver or gold," the power he was looking for, "but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk." Now that was wonderful to the healed man who did walk, and yet it was misunderstood power by the religious and political powers of that day. They saw it as a threat. And they promptly locked up Peter and John for safekeeping. Not Peter and John's, theirs. The next day, Peter begins his defense with, "How can you argue with results? Come on. We're being examined today for a good deed." And then he got down to the real business at hand, this new power on the scene. "Be it known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ," that's what the powers that were didn't want to hear. And they didn't want to hear it for reasons Peter was all too glad to point out. "The one whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this stone that was rejected by the builders has become the head of the corner." And there he was quoting from an Old Testament prophecy. And speaking of corners, Peter knew that he had the authorities in one, and so he said boldly, "Salvation comes from nowhere else. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved." And that goes back to Peter's original argument, how can you argue with results, with power like that? And like the powers of Peter's day, we may not like certain forms of power that we run into. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. But sometimes with power, we just have to face the fact that that's the way it is. Former President Bush, 41, terrorized the Secret Service by insisting on going skydiving at an advanced age because he wanted to finish something he started in World War II as a fighter pilot. He had to bail out. There was another pilot of that same era, same war, who like President Bush, had to bail out of a disabled aircraft. And not only did he have to jump out, there was a huge air battle going on all around him, and he had to fall through many, many dogfights, planes shooting at each other. Now, skydiving hadn't even been thought of at that time. And all he'd had was instruction. He had no actual practice in parachuting. And once when he was telling the story, somebody said, "How could you do that? I just couldn't do that." To which he answered, "Well, I really didn't have much choice. My options were kind of limited. The alternative was death. That's just the way it was." Well, we may not like the fact of life that the only power that can save us, that can help us figure out life, that can help us understand how it's worthwhile, is God's power. But that's the way it is. It's not a matter of U.S. versus Canadian laws. It just depends which side of the border we're on. Like the law of gravity. It's the same everywhere, and that's the way it is. We need God's power. Even though we might be a little afraid of it sometimes, or we might not understand it, or we might not even like the fact that we can't make it on our own, that's the way it is. And it is at this point that that lesson from the first epistle of John says what we need to hear. That we don't have to be afraid of God's power. The wonder of his power is that he uses it for our benefit. He gives it to us, and he gives it for us. And with that, we can be devoted to God rather than afraid of him, because we don't have to earn it. We don't deserve our standing with him, but it is ours because he gives it to us by nothing less than his own power. Remember the words of assurance? God, who is rich in mercy, in kindness toward us. Now, the best example of this is found in that gospel lesson from John, where Jesus himself draws a picture of this relationship to power that needs not be feared because of the way that power is used. And he begins with those familiar words, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it up. This charge I received from my Father. And that helps us to think about that power of God. Some kinds of power demand respect, like strange dogs that might bite, or dynamite, or nuclear energy, or personal influence, all which can be used for good or for evil, so much so that they demand respect. Other kinds of power earn respect, like good actions and good decisions that preserve life or improve life and develop friendships that can be trusted forever. The power of God that we find in Jesus Christ has earned our respect. And when a person has earned respect, that respect often turns into love. And when that happens, when we begin to love God because He first loved us, then we find ourselves connected to that expression of God's power, His love, and we can put it to work the same way He does. And with that, we answer the question about God's power, whether it's friend or foe. It's friend. So much so that that power of God, His love, is recognized as the very source of our life, our power, our love. Think about that as a church family. People come to us in many ways. Some come on confirmation of faith. Some come by transfer. Some come by reaffirmation of faith. And in all those ways, we recognize that they are professing what we profess, who Jesus Christ is and how He makes a difference in life. And that's our power. We're all connected to that power, God's love, by the faith that we celebrate when we come to worship. Every time we take communion, every time we participate in a baptism, every time we gather as a church family, we're empowered. We're energized by the Spirit working through the body of Christ, the church. That's how it works. Another way to understand it is in terms of the work done, the results. We can use that to consider what the scripture lessons are saying this morning. Every sermon ought to answer or at least ask the question, so what? Now, with what we've thought about, we need to ask that question. So look around this week and seek out some places to try that power. You know, you have to be connected to that power. All of us have tried to use the electric knife or the car vacuum and found out that we forgot to plug it in. And you know what happens? Nothing. And we laugh at ourselves and say, how silly. We plug it in and it works. Well, try that out. Connected to God's power of love, do something with it. Call somebody. Give them a word of encouragement. Don't put it off by thinking that it won't mean much. To do that's like having a battery that you put on the shelf and never touch. Eventually, it's no good. Never connected to it, eventually the power just dissipates and goes away. A word of encouragement can come too late. Timing does count. A good word at the right time may mean another try after a failure, but this time it works. Call a young parent and tell them what a delight their children are. They really need that. They're working hard. If your child has a teacher that you know went the extra mile, tell them that. The next time an insurance clerk really comes through for you, compliment them. And don't think it's a bother. A compliment's never a bother. Because you're part of distributing the very power of God, goodness, love. Surprise somebody with grace, love for no good reason except the very good reason is that that's part of the very power of God. Now, that kind of power can be shocking, but it won't hurt. The shock comes in that it's so different from what we experience in the world. Try some aggressive honesty this week. Say to someone, you know, you made a math error there. I actually owe you more money than that. That'll come as a real shock to them. You forgot to figure in that extra material in this project, so be sure you add that to the next bill. Really gets people's attention and perks their curiosity and invites them to wonder about this kind of power that you have. Like God Himself, we can give something of ourselves away. Now, it costs to be powerful like that. And we can't do it unless we're connected to the source. Trying to do it on our own just doesn't work. When we try to be good, to do good, to get good done by ourselves, we don't have the power. But what we have received from God connects us to that power. And with that power, this is one place you don't have to worry about conservation. You don't have to worry about waste. This is not something that we're going to run out of. All we have to do is stay connected. Don't worry about the supply. It's unlimited. Don't worry about not knowing how to use it. It comes with directions. Worship, the Bible. And don't worry about the results. They may be shocking, but they won't hurt. That's the way it is with God's power. Amen. Let us pray. You'll find the prayer for blessing on the word printed in your bulletin. We pray together. Lord of all power, grant us the power of your Holy Spirit to hear and understand your word. Then empower us to live in the light of that word so that we and others may understand the power of your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.